Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from New York is Neil Getnick, who's the managing partner at the law firm Getnick and Getnick. And today we're going to be talking about PPP fraud, one of the sad outcomes of the pandemic. Neil, first of all, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Adam, thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
Our pleasure having you. Now, what types of fraud are you seeing perpetrated by established corporations when it comes to PPP funds?
Well, there are a whole variety of frauds. Let me give you some, and then let me point out in advance that each of these are real examples, not hypothetical. The first is the creation of fictitious employees, padding the payroll in order to get a larger loan. Second, using a residence as a business address. There's an example of a single family home ostensibly housing a business with 40 employees. That did not fly. Third, the impermissible use of funds. A lot of people have now read about PPP loans going to the purchase of luxury cars and condominiums and other such impermissible uses. The fourth are applicants who are on the Treasury Department do not pay list that still apply for PPP loans and do receive funds. You may receive the funds, but that is not appropriate and not permissible. Fifth, a bankrupt company having represented to federally insured banks that it is not in bankruptcy, not permissible. Sixth, submitting loan applications on behalf of third-party entities in exchange for large kickbacks. And then seventh, generally speaking, forged documents, stolen identities, and false certifications.
Wow, quite the panoply there. So what should compliance officers be vigilant for within their organizations?
Well, the first is false or misleading answers. The second is questionable documentation. It is very important that the documentation be original source documentation. And if there is a redaction on any of that documentation, it has to spell it out on the face of the document itself and not present a redacted document as the original source document. And finally, the certification of need. That's perhaps the single most important thing. And so, for example, on the first round of PPP loan funding, there was a specific statement that had to be certified by the company. Quote, current economic uncertainty makes this loan request necessary to support the ongoing operations of the applicant, close quote. And absent that certification, the company does not qualify.
You know, I think that's one area where, in I think the popular mind, people didn't realize that there was this need to certify that the money was necessary. The idea most people had was that it was just there. Now, how should organizations report potential wrongdoing if they see it within their own organization?
Well, for the line employee or even the management employee, if there is a concern along those lines, it should be reported to the company compliance officer or the company compliance program, however that is structured. And the thought at that point will be, should and how should the company self-report? A key factor will be whether the wrongdoing was inadvertent or intentional. But whatever it may be, this is not something that should be decided at the compliance level. It should be instead elevated to the general counsel, who in turn might well want to engage outside counsel from the standpoint of should something be done? And if so, what should be done? And then how should it be executed?
So As we're recording this, there's talk in Washington of more stimulus money. Are there new risk organizations need to be mindful of with this new stimulus money potentially coming their way?
Well, yes. The Small Business Administration Inspector General, Hannibal, better known as Michael Ware, has been particularly diligent in tracking down potential fraud, discovering its root causes, and proposing practical recommendations going forward. Some of that has already begun to be implemented. For example, the latest is that on January 11th of this year, the SBA IG issued a report exposing payments to recipients on the Treasury Department Do Not Pay list. And already the SBA administrator has responded saying that every new PPP loan application submitted to the SBA for processing by a lender will now be searched against the Treasury Department Do Not Pay list. Other findings of IG Ware to be found in the October 28, 2020 report on a sister program, the EIDL program, Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. And the bottom line is that going forward, we will be seeing enhanced due diligence, vetting, and anti-fraud measures.
Well, it's a good warning to all organizations to be very mindful of that. Now, I want to close with the issue of reputational risk. Some organizations have been criticized for taking funds. They haven't been accused of doing anything legally wrong. It didn't seem to some that they needed the money. How should companies assess whether they should or shouldn't apply from a reputational risk standpoint?
Well, this is a good opportunity to distinguish what I call business-driven integrity from law-driven compliance. You can analyze a company decision from two standpoints. The law-driven compliance question becomes, is it permissible? The business-driven integrity question becomes, is it right? And with business-driven integrity, responses become less a matter of consulting a legal guidance memo than fulfilling the company's basic mission and business model. The core principle being that good ethics is good business, and integrity and honest dealing lead to an enhanced business reputation and long-term success for individuals and corporations alike. Here, there's an additional factor from a reputational risk standpoint, which is that the decision is more likely to become publicly known. So the basic construct is to ask the question of ourselves, what is the purpose of the SBA disaster loan program? And the answer is to provide economic relief to small businesses in potential dire straits, along with their employees, during a time of national disaster. If a company doesn't fit within the intended purpose of the program, does it want to suck up funds which otherwise would have reached the intended recipients? Consider this Washington Post December 2 article. More than half of emergency small business funds went to larger businesses. And inside the article, it said the PPP program's spring rollout was fraught with confusion over rules for borrowers and an early run on the money by large chains and big banks that caused the first pot of funding to run dry in 13 days. So we go back to the key representation. The key representation that must be made on such applications, and it is very important that companies applying for loans can make this representation in good faith. Quote, current economic uncertainty makes this loan request necessary to support the ongoing operations of the applicant. Close quote.
Well, it's a very simple statement to make, and it's also one, obviously, that we've seen as not necessarily been used properly, and one that I think is a good warning for everyone of, you know, the perennial issue of there's a difference between that which you have a right to do and that which is right to do. Neil, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.